Good afternoon. It is Monday, August 4th. The Petersburg Borough Assembly regular meeting is about to convene. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Jensen.
Excused.
Vice Mayor Marsh.
Here.
Member Newman.
Excused.
Member Schwartz.
Also excused.
Member Stanton Gregor.
Here.
Member Lynn.
Here.
Member Valentine.
Here.
Okay, thank you. We do have a quorum. Next is a voluntary pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get approval of the regular assembly meeting minutes from July 21st, 2025?
I move to approve the minutes of the regular assembly meeting of July 21st, 2025.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. Next, we have the amendment and approval of the meeting agenda as presented.
I move to approve the meeting agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we do not have any public hearings today or bid awards. Next is persons to be heard related to agenda. Anyone wishing to share their views on items on today's agenda may do so at this time. Is there anyone in the audience? Seeing none, clerk, is there anyone on Zoom who you can?
There's no one.
Okay. Next, moving to persons to be heard unrelated to agenda. Anyone with views on subjects not on today's agenda may share those views at this time. Yes, please step forward, state your name, and limit your comments to 5 minutes, please.
Yes, my name is Mary Clemens. I am speaking about the proposal that was at the last meeting to sell city property on Hagen Drive for development into duplexes. I know that it's not going to be on the agenda today, but it may be at the next meeting. And I'm just going to real briefly restate that I understand we need housing in town, and I understand that if you live next to city property, there's a good chance that that property may be developed. I think we all realize that. My objection at this point is that this particular place at this time, I don't think is a good idea because it's putting undue burden on one residence in town, and that's Otis and Diane Marsh. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Seeing none, we will move on to boards, commission, and committee reports. There are none. Consent agenda. We have a liquor license renewal from the Bottle Shop. Bottle Shop has applied to renew their package store liquor license. The assembly may support or protest the application within 60 days of the date of notice of the application filing. Could I get a motion, please?
I move to approve the liquor license renewal for the Bottle Shop.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 This is 4-0. Next, we have report of other officers. First, we have CEO Hofstetter. He is not here. Yep, so please consult the written report in the packet. Next, we have District Ranger Case with the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, good afternoon. I just have a quick few updates for you all today. So we are starting to access our remote fly-in cabins. We're able to fly again, which is great. So we are going out and checking on those. I would say to the public, if you ever have questions about cabins or are headed to a cabin and want to know if there's anything we need transported, please call us. We do take people up on that, cabin users up on those kind of requests at times. So please reach out. And of course, if you see anything that needs fixed, please let us know. We have 1 month left to work at the Three Lakes Trail System. I think the crew is moving to the Hill Lake section, which is mostly gravel work. But if you are hiking out there, you'll probably see them Monday through Thursdays is typically when they'll be on that trail system. Deer season is starting. We do issue hunter permits at our front desk. So just a reminder, our front desk hours, we are open all day, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we are closed in the afternoon. So if you do need anything or need us to help you outside of those hours, just give us a call and we can arrange for somebody to be there to get you what you need. And that's all for me.
Thank you. Okay. Next, we have Petersburg School District Superintendent Taylor to provide a report.
All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. The exciting news for us is on Saturday, our legislative body chose to override the governor's line item veto, so we will be receiving the $700 increase to the student-based student allocation that is in this now in state law. So that is exciting news. The one thing, though, I do want to remind people is that last year we did receive one-time funding of $680 over the base student allocation. So we're really talking about, you know, from one fiscal year to the next, an increase of $20 per student on the base student allocation, with insurance costs that have risen considerably, staff and salary wages, just everything costs money. So the advocacy efforts for educational funding are certainly not over, but at least for this school year, we'll be able to breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief with now our known funding coming in. So that is definitely helpful. And a quick update on the school construction. I walked through the interior of the high school today, and the flooring's in, the tile work is done, the painting is done. They've installed the frames for the windows and doors. Some of the windows on the interior offices are done. Cabinets are in a state of almost completion, and we should be receiving countertops this week. So it's coming together rather quickly. We anticipate we'll be moving in the week of August 18th. So it's going to be a busy 2 weeks before school starts, but we can do it. And the roof project is coming along as well. They will be working into the fall. They're working to try to get the front end of the school completed now so that they can move all of their equipment to the backside of the building and have the front accessible where we have the majority of traffic. So they're working really hard to try to accommodate the school startup. And then just lastly, activities have been starting for the high school. I believe cross country may have started this last week. And the teachers will be coming back on the 25th with school opening on September 2nd.
Thank you. Any questions from the assembly members? Thank you. Okay, next we have the mayor's report. Filing for candidacy for the October 7, 2025 municipal election. The filing period to run for an assembly, board, or commission seat for the Petersburg Borough began on July 29 and ends at 4:30 p.m. on August 26, 2025. Paperwork to file for candidacy is available on the borough website or at the front desk of the municipal building. Please consider serving our community by running for one of the 20 seats up for election. All seats are 3-year terms except for 1 2-year seat on the Planning Commission and 1 2-year seat on the Parks and Rec Advisory Board. Borough Assembly and elected positions information. Community members interested in learning more about serving on the Borough Assembly or in other elected positions are invited to attend an upcoming informational meeting by the clerk and borough manager. This is a great opportunity to learn more about the roles, responsibilities, and what you need to know about serving in local government. The session will be held in the Assembly Chambers on Monday, August 11, 2025, from 10 a.m. to noon. Call the clerk with any questions. For more information on the election, please go to www.petersburgak.gov and click on the orange banner at the top of the screen. Next, we have the manager's report. Mr. Giesbert.
Good afternoon. We had a tree come down on the City Creek Trail and another one that's leaning pretty good that we are working with our Public Works crew, thank you very much, as well as Parks and Rec, to get those removed and the trail reopened. It's currently closed while we deal with some trees. Harbor parking is being enforced along Harbor Way and the Middle South Harbor. Harbor would like to remind people that the drive down approach is no longer allowing long-term parking. Staff met with Build Grant Project Managers to understand the upcoming process for receiving federal funds for Scow Bay. We are in the process of getting that money, so it's a long, lots of different federal agencies that we have to interact with, but we're moving in that direction, so really good news. Harbor staff worked and completed a Department of Transportation Municipal Harbor Grant Match application in hopes the state budget allows for any funding in the upcoming budget. Streets crew replaced 23 deck planks on the Rasmussen-Inge Bridge, and some inspection of the guardrail on the North Nordic revealed some deteriorated posts, so we've begun replacing those that are unsound. Also on Nordic, North Nordic Streets Department personnel replaced another failed set of beach access stairs with a crushed rock ramp, like the first pedestrian ramp that was installed near Hungry Point. Border Pool staff are working with Power and Light and Alltech, the vendor, to undertake some warranty repairs to the new material handle and the digger derrick. Garbage bears are still very active. We are continuing our public education campaign to encourage folks to keep garbage secure. We also have bear straps for garbage cans back in stock at Public Works. These are available to sanitation customers free upon request. Water production is steady at 1.8 million gallons a day, with very little variation from day to day. Installation of the fiber communication line between the water plant and storage tank is nearly complete. Once fully installed, the line will provide a more reliable communication link than the current radio equipment, which has proved vulnerable to electromagnetic activity in the atmosphere. Work continues on Pump Station 4 and the Force Main upgrade project. The engineer on the project, PND, has approved a repair plan for the buckled cofferdam, and Rockin' Road is going to be making repairs to that structure. Rockin' Road has also submitted a claim for costs related to the delay of the project that resulted from the discovery of the eagle nest during the near the work area. This claim is currently being evaluated by borough staff and PND. Wastewater and Public Works staff met with an EPA representative to discuss the broken wastewater plant outfall line in Frederick Sound. The break in the line means that the borough will not be able to satisfy the requirements in our new EPA discharge permit until repairs are made and the outfall is operating as originally designed. EPA is going to work with the borough to put together a legal agreement allowing the borough to operate without penalties while repairs are undertaken. Our borough attorney, Sarah Heideman, has been briefed on the matter, and she will work with the EPA on the proposed legal agreement. Costs for the repairs are still unknown, but now that the scope is better defined, we are beginning work on a budget for the outfall repair project. The line crew has been supporting the Pump Station 4 project, providing line cover and de-energizing overhead distribution so that Rockin' Road can work safely at the pump station site. Crew has also been working on moving overhead lines to underground for customers near the project who entered in agreements with the utility to pay for the effort. GD Partners and their transformer manufacturer, SSEL, participated in a video conference to receive clarifications on various aspects of the Scow Bay Generator step-up transformer. And Power and Light received approval from FERC for a minor change to the Blind Slough Hydro tail race that will install a second air vent closer to the powerhouse. It's anticipated that adding this vent will allow for more air to vent from the water stream, helping reduce the total dissolved gas that has been a concern of the hatchery. Thanks to the Petersburg Indian Association Tribal Council for recently voting to approve Power and Light as their sub-awardee on the Department of Energy Tribal Grid Resiliency Grant. The utility is budgeted for a 48% match on the grant funds for an overall project budget of approximately $400,000. The funds will be used to complete the deployment of the AMI meters across the community. Partnerships like this were the goal of the grant program, and the great history of cooperation between PIA and the borough has made for a smooth process towards electrical improvements that help all members of the community. The library summer reading program ended on July 13th this year. 71 kids completed the program, an increase over previous years, thanks to the many donors who make this program possible. In August, the library will host several educational programs. On August 9th, the UAF Cooperative Extension Services will offer classes on probiotic pickling, food preservation, and starting a homemade food business. Additional August programs include yoga with Karen Malcolm and a Rainforest Writers Workshop. More information is available at psglib.org. Fire Marshal approval has been retained for the elderly housing cooler repair project. And youth volleyball camp starting in mid-August. Information on Facebook. Contact the front desk for more information or to get signed up. If you're interested in coaching, refereeing, or scorekeeping for the Parks and Rec youth basketball season, please contact Julie Anderson. And lifeguard certification course is coming August 22nd through the 24th. Contact Scott Bird to get registered. And facility maintenance and Dieter Close will be working to restore the handrail on the Troll Bridge, Booth Bridge, beginning the first week of August. Please use caution while they work on it. Thank you for all your patience, and that is done unless there's questions.
Thank you for that information. Is there any question or discussion from assembly members? Okay, seeing none. We don't have any unfinished business, but we do have some new business. Resolution 2025-17. A resolution urging immediate action for effective sea otter management to restore Southeast Alaska's shellfish commercial fisheries and subsistence harvests. If approved, Resolution 2025-17 would request immediate action by federal and state authorities to establish and expedite a comprehensive and adaptive sea otter management strategy in Southeast Alaska. Could I get a motion, please?
I motion to approve Resolution 2025-17 as written.
Second.
Okay, I do have a substantial financial interest in this one. My husband's been a crabber for over 40 years, and he has seen the decimation of crab areas throughout the southeast, southern southeast, by these critters who have been unmanaged and populating like rabbits. So I guess it leaves the question up to the assembly whether or not I am allowed to vote.
Not for a vote.
Okay, so.
I move to recess this.
You see, we have it on the table, so we'd have to vote on it. But I let me talk about a couple other things here. I put this on the agenda because I think it's time that we, and from the national perspective, we take a look at the management of the sea otter here in Alaska. But I like, and I think Member Marsh proposed an amendment to that. I kind of like the idea, but I like the idea. Actually, she gave me two more ideas on this, but I would like to see us go broader, saying, and the chief came up with a couple ideas. I'd like to see it broader, but I'd like to see something in here now that would allow us to take a look at other people being able to harvest too. I agree with that idea. But how, getting down to the specifics, I'd like to back it off, but ask that that be part of the review. And then in addition to that, that we look at additional, harvest and changing the guidelines, as part of this whole process. So with that, I would amend this. And said, oh, there's a hand up here. Jay wants to talk. Before I go on to make another motion, I'll move to Jay here.
Jay, Member Stan Greger.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Marsh. Backing up to your first part, thank you for disclosing that financial interest, and I would have no problem with you voting on that, but given that we only have four of us today, I would move to set this aside until the second meeting in September.
So that is an emotion, I guess. Can we have a second?
Second.
Okay, a motion to move this, to set this aside until the second meeting of September has been proposed. We have a motion by Member Stanton Greger and a second by Member Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, motion passes. Thank you. So we'll set that aside. Next, we have Resolution 2025-18, a resolution addressing the management of nuisance black bears in the Petersburg Borough. If approved, Resolution 2025-18 would authorize Chief Kerr to coordinate with ADF&G and Alaska Wildlife Troopers to carry out removal of nuisance bears. Could I get a motion, please?
I move to approve Resolution 2025-18.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Member Lynn and a second by Member Valentine. Any discussion?
Just so I think we can see if Chief Kerr has a couple words you want to say. I have your presentation here, but maybe a summarized version of what you have written here, if you could.
Earlier, fishing games to come. I'll just kind of go over this for people that are online or listening to it. So I'll start off with this and I'll go to that. Over the past several years, Petersburg Police Department Borough have experienced increasing bear-related issues, resulting in property damage, safety concerns, and substantial resource allocation. Recent efforts have successfully improved community compliance with trash security ordinances, but a small number of problem bears continue to create a costly and unsafe conditions. Approximately four bears have exhibited persistent learned behavior in defeating borough-issued garbage cans. The bears destroy the lids, access the garbage, even with bear straps and ratchet straps in place. The issue is no longer unsecured trash. It's a group of conditioned, emboldened bears. Non-lethal conditioning methods have failed. There are no cubs involved, reducing the likelihood of public outcry over the dispatch of these few bears. The proposed solution, humanely dispatch approximately four bears, which is less now, bears under coordination with ADF&G and Alaska Wildlife Troopers. Reset the generational learned behavior by removing these specific bears, which will get us ready for the bears that come in before they go into hibernation. So like the October, November time bears that are foraging before hibernation. We're not talking about addressing those ones now. Hopefully the community's efforts will deter those ones. The action supported by existing Alaska regulations and best practices. Reinvestment and cost savings, reduced damage, enforcement, administrative cost could be reinvested into long-term bear conflict mitigation. Part of that would be public outreach campaigns like we're currently doing, do some PSAs on bear safe practices, remind people of local ordinances, continued coordination with ADF&G and other partners to maintain public awareness. And then in addition, I'd like to see a link to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Living with Bears resource. They have a really nice web page where you can click on it and it tells you all the bear safe things, what to do when you're living in bear country. I'd like to see a dedicated link on the borough webpage directly for that to educate the community. Long-term strategy, recent cost analysis show that true bear-resistant cans are 3 to 4 times more expensive than the current garbage cans in use by the borough. Due to these financial constraints, a complete switch to bear-resistant cans is not feasible at this time. Therefore, the current strategy remains the most physically responsible approach. The borough will continue providing bear straps at no cost to residents while maintaining education and outreach. This approach acknowledges that despite best efforts, some bears may eventually become nuisance animals and will need to be dispatched from time to time to protect public safety and borough infrastructure. Conclusion, the proposal represents the best represents a practical and cost-effective solution to a reoccurring and growing issue. It balances public safety, financial responsibility, and long-term community education. I respectfully request the assembly support for this resolution. And then I've also provided, so say the perfect example, a 32-gallon trash can, the small size that the borough issues, including shipping, is $51.29 per garbage can. If we were to go to a bear-resistant can, it's $187 a piece, and that doesn't include the shipping in it. The 64-gallon can, currently we're spending, it says $110, but the 64-gallon can would be $237 without shipping. And then the 96-gallon cans, we're currently spending $91.20 a piece for those, and that would jump to $257 a piece without shipping. So it's a substantial cost to the borough if we were to start doing this. But I just kind of see you guys have this. When I talk about learned behavior, this first one, the garbage can was up here. Garbage can was pulled down the driveway, and I got a text about this. I had called the officer about it at, late at night, letting him know, hey, the bear's here. And if you go to the next one, the reason why the bear drags it down there is because we're not dealing with your normal bears. We're dealing with smart ones. It's got it down there. The officer, this was the second time this bear had done that. The officer parked way up the street, trying to not scare this one away, but it keeps an eye out for the street. So it's standing up looking after the officer and runs away before he even gets close to it. And then if you go down the next, this is what they're doing. So this one has bear straps on there and ratchet straps, and you can see it breaks the garbage can, peels it back to access the trash. So these aren't the ones that we're usually seeing before they go into hibernation. These ones are ones that are demonstrating a learned behavior, destroying cans. I believe this resident, this is their at least their third can right now that they've destroyed this year. So just thought I'd share that with you guys. You guys got any other questions or anything?
Thank you for the presentation and the numbers. That's good information.
We like numbers.
Okay.
Numbers is good.
Chair Blitzer, would you be able to address this, your point of view?
I don't have a presentation. More than anything, I guess I want to say, you know, this is a problem and a nuisance. Nobody wants to pick up their garbage more than once. In a perfect world, the police department isn't having to respond to these things. Fish and Game isn't having to try to manage these things. And my office wouldn't be in the same boat in between them. And not in between them, because we're all one community. I think the three agencies that I just mentioned working together is probably the best answer for this, and it is a community thing. It's going to be neighbors working together to figure out what works in their neighborhood, best practices. It's going to be the borough, maybe some places getting the garbage cans for some communities or some neighborhoods that can't bring them indoors or bring them into either garages or other secured locations. I know the borough. Different borough members over the years have talked about a whole bunch of different options. Hopefully these aren't just happening in the borough building, but these are also happening on the streets, in the neighborhoods, so everyone can figure this out. And like I said, at the end of the day, I look forward to working with the police department and Fish and Game for best practices to eliminate bears. And then in a perfect world, we don't have to deal with it, and everybody does their part. We live in bear country. Everyone's going to have to do some part. One thing, not to give answers or anything, but the one thing that that is pretty concrete is taking game in defense of life and property. A lot of things were mentioned that people are concerned, people are afraid. This should be said, that nothing in Alaska regulations prohibits a person from taking game in defense of life and property, as long as the necessity for taking that game is not brought about by harassment or provocation of the animal or an unreasonable invasion of the animal's habitat. That's usually like people hunting or going after something and then being surprised that the animal turns around, or poking your head in a den. Or the necessity is not brought by the improper disposal of garbage or similar attractive nuisance. And all other practical means to protect life and property are exhausted before the game is taken. So I urge the community members and the borough, as well as all of our agencies, to go through all of the steps, all the possibilities. I know Fish and Game has a policy on how to deal with things like this. I can't speak to that, but currently... the community should know the bear trap is out. It's being used. But the bear trap is not going to be effective if the bear gets a better meal three houses down. So everyone's going to have to do their part. And then the bear trap, if a bear is set for elimination, the bear trap is probably the safest and most ethical way to do it. But we don't put that out lightly either, because, and I say we, because that's the three agencies. We're all small agencies, all small manpower, so we have to work together to do it. But putting the trap out in a neighborhood has the ability to trap your pets, because they're going to want to get in it if they're loose. And then who knows how long they sit in a trap. And on a summer day, a hot trap can be bad. And kids mess around with these things too. And the door slammed with quite a bit of force. We don't want anyone to get injured. And I mean, it's all a safety thing, so we don't want anyone to get injured in any way, shape, or form. So any questions for me?
Appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that motion on the floor and some information behind us, Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Can we ask questions first?
Yes.
Okay. I've got a couple questions for the chief. Are we making contact with those landowners? I've ridden around town now a couple times, and I noticed we still have quite a few people, you know, who have the garbage just sitting out there open with no problem at all. Are we making any contacts and doing any kind of contact with those people who were that's occurring? So, in those neighborhoods?
So we're making contact with the trash cans that are knocked over and the problems when we come upon them. We're not proactively going around house by house checking everyone's garbage can. So we are addressing them as we're notified or as we see them.
Then my second question to you is, you know, at the last meeting, you were pretty self-assured that it was just four bears, and that if we take care of those, if those four bears were taken care of, that problem until fall would go away. Are you still of the same idea?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, please.
Yes, Member Stanton Gregor.
I guess my question right now is, we already have mechanisms working with Fish and Game and the state trooper to dispose of problem bears. Maybe I'm being simple-minded, but with these mechanisms in place, maybe the chief could speak to why we need this enhanced resolution when there's methods already in place. Thank you.
This just makes it more of a, I believe, more of a formal thing. It educates the public while also providing direction for all the agencies to work together on this. Just as of last week is when we put the bear trap out, and this was already in progress. This was already in progress before that. So just make it a formalized thing, raise more public education on this. I mean, so I'd say that's the best approach.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, now Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Marsh?
Yes.
Member Lynn?
Yes.
Member Stanton Gregor?
No.
Okay, motion fails. We need a 4-vote approval. So moving on, Resolution 2025-19, a resolution expressing support for the Southeast Alaska Power Agency's Southeast Alaska Delivery Resiliency, SEADR, project, and application to the Alaska Energy Authority Grid Resilience Formula Grant Program. If approved, Resolution 2025-19 would affirm the borough's support for SEPA's CEDAR project and its grant application, while urging state and federal agencies to prioritize funding for this key regional infrastructure effort. Could I get a motion, please?
I move to approve Resolution 2025-18. Or 19, I'm sorry, 19.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Member Lynn, a second by Member Valentine. Any discussion? Member Lynn.
I asked for this to be put on and for a number of reasons. This grant application is really important to SEPA, but it benefits Petersburg, although this here, the money would go for the Ketchikan to upgrade part of the system down there. The problem, if you think of it now, is water going through a tap. We can only put so much power into Ketchikan because of the particular, particular valves we have there. And so what this does, if we were to get this money, we can upgrade that whole system to be able to put more power there. Why that's important is because if we put a third turbine at Tai, that allows us to sell, in SEPA, to sell more power. And that keeps our rates, Wrangell's rates, and Ketchikan rates down. That's why it's, you know, extremely important to do this, if that makes sense. Thank you.
So may I guess, can I ask a question directly? So by benefiting Ketchikan, the other communities, Petersburg and Wrangell, are also benefited.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Director Hagerman, well said? Enough said? Okay. All right. Thank you for that explanation, Member Lynn. Member Stanton-Greger, any questions? Looks like seeing none.
Nope. No, thank you.
Okay. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Member Stanton-Greger?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Marsh?
Yes.
Member Lynn?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, we have communications. Correspondence received to the Assembly since the July 17, 2025 meeting can be found in the packet and online. And FEMA shelter training, August 15 and 16, upcoming FEMA training opportunity information provided by Emergency Services Director Hankins. Director Hankins? Yes, please. Will you share what you know about this? Thank you.
So just again, this is both the classroom training and participation in the exercise for individuals who would like to assist in helping set up a shelter if the time ever came, or if you would like to be a victim in our exercise. All that's free to the public, and we're still looking for volunteers for both the operation of and the being victims for our exercise. The FEMA classroom training, we have two instructors from FEMA and two instructors from the American Red Cross out of Juneau coming down to put on this training about all the core components of a shelter facility and trying to help us understand what are the best practices for implementing that. Currently in the borough's emergencies officially adopted plans, they have the borough reaching out to faith-based groups to operate that component for us. This is trying to kind of our mock-up of what it would look like if we try and centralize a location, this being the Parks and Rec Gym, in order to set up a shelter that then we can invite the faith-based groups along with borough staff to help operate a shelter. That takes place Parks and Rec Saturday, August 16th, 11:30 until end. We imagine we'll probably be done by 2:30, 3 o'clock at the latest. And the classroom training will take place the day before on Friday, August 15th, 9 to 3, up at the fire station. So for any interested individuals, you can call the fire station at 907-772-3355. You can shoot me an email, ahankins@petersburgak.gov, or just come up and see us up at the station. So we appreciate the public's help with this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Director Hankins. Okay. Assembly member discussion items. I have a comment, and it is regarding the motion adopted on July 21, 2025 concerning Dave Omer's application to purchase borough property. I was and am yet confident that I did not and do not have a financial interest in the matter, substantial or otherwise. However, I should have stated the obvious that the adjacent property in question does belong to my in-laws, but after consulting with our borough attorney, I was advised that the best, most transparent process with emphasis on the importance of public trust in our decision-making practices would be to recommend that at the September 2nd regular meeting of the borough assembly, that the application from Mr. Omer be reconsidered. This process would give the assembly an opportunity to vote again on this proposal, essentially rescinding the July 21st decision. Are there any other comments from assembly members? Okay, now we have recognitions. I have one. This will be Chris Cotta's last assembly meeting, and he will be moving south for a new job. He was hired as the City of Petersburg's Assistant Public Works Director in July of 2008 and was promoted to the Petersburg Borough Public Works Director in March of 2018. Thank you, Chris, for 17 years of working with the City and the Borough of Petersburg, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Chris. Woo-hoo. Thank you. Holla.
Okay, and next we have marine passenger fee and cruise ship rate study from Ketchikan. Member Valentine requested this discussion item. Member Valentine.
Thank you. I wanted to bring this up because we're in with American Cruise Line wanting to come in and build a dock, and just wanted to discuss with the team here, Jay, I guess everybody, but just with us four today, just to hear your opinions on what I have written here and what do you guys think and so on. But essentially, the marine passenger fee, this is a fee that comes with, and I believe the way the Petersburg Borough has written it, and I'll have to triple check on this, but it's like a ship that has more than 12 people, or maybe it was more than 15 people, is something right there. And if you have more than that many people, you're considered a passenger ship, and then you have to pay our marine passenger fee. Our marine passenger fee currently is $5 per person that comes into Petersburg off a ship. Now, the marine passenger fee and the fund that it goes into, quote-unquote, is projects and services that benefit the marine vessels. So this money then can go to what is currently used for, like, bathrooms, supplies for the bathrooms, cleaning, any kind of maintenance around. I mean, the cruise ship guests go up to the library, so we help with clean the bathrooms up there, things like this, right? And so my thought came from with American Cruise Lines coming in, that there are ways that we can utilize marine passenger fee to help, I believe, everybody involved. And then there was this year I was given a cruise ship rate study that was done in Ketchikan that compared not all, but many Southeast ports, some East Coast ports, and a couple up in like Anchorage, Seward, Nome area for a comparison of their rates, how they use those cruise ships use the water there, how the their marine passenger fee breaks down and all that. So essentially, by having all this information, I came up with what I think we should try, right? And that's why I want to hear your guys' opinion after this. But essentially, we are currently at $5 per person. I think we should raise it to a proposed of $8 per person that comes to town. And $5 of that will go still to the normal marine passenger fee fund. That goes to, again, projects and services that benefit the marine vessels. That's general maintenance of the harbor, bathroom maintenance. This could be also for the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department. I know that they were asking some, so this could be used because you can say, hey, for every time you get called to go down to the cruise ship, you know, there is the compensation there. This could help with the installation of marine pump-out station and so on. And then the $3 additional, I wanted to directly put that and say that goes directly to the Harbor Enterprise Fund. Okay, this goes right back into the Harbor Enterprise Fund. And so because we were taking $1 million from there, this is a plan to help pay that back. And so again, I think that this is a good proposal. The reason I didn't go very much higher, I can go into, but essentially, this is kind of what I came up with, and I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on this. So if you guys have any questions or comments, or and also, you know, for the public to hear as well. Thank you.
I've read this. I like your ideas on a couple parts. One of them, but I'm not, and I asked, if you remember, I asked that the manager, we come back with a proposal to increase the fees in some way. Whether it be $8, $9, I don't have an idea. I do know that when, I think Jeff Mucci proposed this 8 years ago, maybe. It's been a long time, but the point being where I was going with that is there is an increase, you know, inflation has increased. So should that be actually increased, you know, another dollar or two because of inflation in addition to what you're proposing here? That would be a question of mine. One, I don't have any better way to determine what that amount should be, you know, than what you have. So I think it's a reasonable call. Mm-hmm. I've just questioned inflation. The second item I would have is that, and Aaron, I believe, could talk to that, is that with the, we're having, because of the guests on the, you know, on the cruise ships, they're older, like myself and stuff, and there's been a lot more calls than there has been in the past. So I would, some of that money obviously has to go to pay, you know, for some of those calls and that type of thing. And I would say that Phil Hofstetter has said the same thing to me, that the number of visits from people off the cruise ships has significantly increased. Mm-hmm. I'm not advocating the money go there, but I'm just saying is that there has been a substantial increase in calls and people going to up to the hospital or the clinic. So with that, that's about all I'd have to say. I'd like be interested to hear other people's take on this. And I see Jay has his hand up.
Member Stan Gregor.
Thank you, Mayor Marsh. Simply put, I think at face value that it's a very sound plan for all the reasons mentioned. One thing in particular I like, if we use it for the sake of discussion, since the discussion item, the $3 above $5 to get us up to $8, having that money go directly back to the Harbor Enterprise Fund, I really like the ring of that, given that we're talking about putting up some Harbor dollars right now to team up with American Cruise Lines. That's a good way to give back to the Harbor Fund after potentially taking from it as we negotiate with them. So very well-rounded approach, and I appreciate your research on that, Member Valentine. Thanks, man.
Okay, thank you, Member Stan Gregor. My thought is, if my math is correct, so we take $3 extra per passenger, we get in approximately $30,000. That's going to be 40 years before we recoup that $1 million. I guess at the outset, I would say, what does it cost for a passenger on this cruise line to come to town? And $8 may not even be a drop in the bucket compared to what they're paying. So I would encourage, if we're going to do this, which I think the Harbor Enterprise Fund should be recompensed for its contribution to the proposed agreement with American Cruise Line with $1 million, maybe we need to look at even steeper rates, because $8 for a passenger who's paying $5,000 or however much, I have no idea how much a passenger fee is, it is simply a drop in the bucket. I mean, I understand people's coffees cost at least that sometimes. So I like the idea, but I think we might be able to narrow it down for greater good. Yeah, Member Valentine.
Sweet. Thank you, guys. I like hearing this is why I want to bring a discussion a little bit in more informal, so I get more people's input, and I want the public to know that we as an assembly want to work as a team to like work together. And the couple things I'd like to note, where we're getting these numbers, I don't know if I said that, but on average, Petersburg gets about 10,000 people a year coming to Petersburg. And that's where it's just a very easy round number to work with. And that's where the $3 equates to about $30,000 straight back in the Harbor Enterprise Fund. And then of course, you know, the outside benefits that we don't see, like sales tax revenue and things like that from the cruise ships that are coming in. The reason why I chose $8 comparatively is there's two things that came to mind when I was trying to figure this out. And I knew that possibly it would go up in it when we were discussing it. But there's the reason that came to me was, one, Juneau and Ketchikan, they're sitting at $8-$9. And just in general, they're much bigger ports. And granted, they can lower it because, you know, they have way more passengers. Skagway sits at $13 twice plus another $8. So they're, and if you look on the cruise ship study, they're paying a ridiculous and absorbent amount to go to Skagway. And then there was two things that happened. I don't know whether it was this year or years prior, but Juneau got in trouble for the way they spent their money. So I wanted that, to note that and make sure that we put this money towards the correct things. And then second is that Skagway was possibly getting sued for putting it up a little too high in their taxations and so on and so forth. So to me, it kind of was like, okay, there is a sweet spot in the for the cruise ship mirroring passenger fee. And the reason I chose eight, it is a little bit on the lower side. And the reason I did that was because much like a lot of things that now I've come into assembly, it seems like we're doing these huge swings and then they get denied, right? So we're something that should have happened maybe 10, 20, or not even that long ago, and then incrementally build it up. Instead, we do these huge swings, and then it's harder to add additional to these big, large swings. So my proposal was eight, make it a you know, kind of a smaller one to start, and I thought that it seemed like a fair one. And yes, 30,000 over 40 years, it is. It's like a long mortgage is the way I think about it. But other things are going to come in to help the ARPA Enterprise Fund as well. But anyhow, just showing that we have an idea to throw money directly back into the Harbor Enterprise Fund, and also no cruise ship can skirt this. So American Cruise Lines can't skirt it. The Lindblad cannot, Alaska Dream Cruise, whatever cruise line here, they all pay it. It's not like one gets special treatment or anything. So anyhow, that's where I came up with this. And of course, this is why it's in discussion before it goes to a proposal. So
I think you've got a good idea. The one thing I would urge us not to do is to pin this down so tight that this money has to be spent, you know, on particular items. I like some of what's in there now, but and I don't have any problem adding it. Part of that would go to the Harbor Enterprise Fund. But I'd like to see it open-ended so that if the manager wants to, you know, needs to move money here versus here, mm-hmm. that they have some of that option, or he or she and Jody have that option. And to, you know, you can still, I think it what's in the wording right now
is just Harbor.
Yeah.
Just that one, and then the rest stays in that regular marine passenger fee fund. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyways.
Any other comments? Appreciate bringing that information forward. Okay, with that, it looks like it is time to adjourn. Could I get a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Good.